Good morning. So good to be back with you here today. Such an honor to fill in for Pastor Neil as he's away with his family today as we dive into God's Word over the next few minutes together and continue to worship our great God this morning. I have my little preaching sidekick here with me, Grayson, today, my partner in crime. And so many of y'all have met Grayson before, but he just finished up second grade at Crutchwood Elementary there in Sherman. And so he's got a few words that he would like to share with you today. So take it away, buddy. Let's go from the beginning.
There's a plane that's about to crash, and there are four people on it. My dad, and a Boy Scout. The president says, well, I'm the president. Of course I should get a parachute. So he got a parachute and went out. And the smartest man in the world, he said, well, I'm the smartest man in the world. The world needs my knowledge. So he jumped out.
Good job, buddy. And so as we think about that this morning, as we start off our time together, you know, I think supposedly that the smartest man in the world, he probably has something to be worried about, right? About halfway down, we didn't realize he had that parachute. And so I want to talk to you today about that very thing, about worry. And let me just ask you, if you're honest, I mean, with everything just going on in across our country today, across the world, just the upheaval that we are facing, just with this virus pandemic that continues to linger on, did you come into this place today worried about something or someone? You know, if God promises to take care of us, why do we worry so much? No matter what circumstance we might face or what storm in life that sometimes may be trying to push us under while we're trying to catch our last breath of hope, we have to realize today that God is still with us. He is still ever present in every situation or circumstance that we might face. He's walking right beside us. Every breath we take, every move we make, he is there waiting to face every battle with us. If we're honest, sometimes seems to come out of nowhere. So why worry? I mean, why do we fill our lives with uneasiness in the mind? I mean, why worry when it's time maybe to pay the rent or the mortgage, or maybe we go to the doctor and we get a health diagnosis that we certainly weren't expecting at the moment? Or maybe it's just problems and responsibilities and pressures of everyday life that can mount up and easily overwhelm us. Why worry? Why worry? We know everything we go through is for a reason, and Jesus will be with us no matter what we face. All we have to do is ask for the right direction to the situation. Hugh Blair stated this. He put it this way. He says, worry not about the possible troubles of the future, for if they come, you're but anticipating and adding to their weight. If they do not come, your worry is useless. In either case, it is weak and in vain, a distrust of God's providence. And so when we have God as the pilot of our lives, and he will lead us only in the best direction. We have to realize today that God is certainly for us. He's not against us. He always has our best interest in mind, even when it may not make sense from our perspective. John J. Chapman describes society best when he stated, "People get so in the habit of worry that if you save them from drowning and you put them on a bank to dry in the sun with hot chocolate and muffins, they wonder if they're going to catch a cold." And so people who do not even know the hope of glory that we are here to praise and worship this morning are so wrapped up in worrying that sometimes maybe even worry about worrying itself. The great English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon put it this way. He says, "Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength." The Bible tells us to take one day at a time. Do not worry about the problems of tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Besides, God is already there. So in the words of Bobby McFerrin's number one 1988 hit, "Don't worry, be happy." Don't worry, be happy. If you have your Bibles with you today, I would encourage you and invite you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Listen carefully here, because in this passage, we have the great physician himself, Jesus Christ, who is giving us a prescription for worry. And he starts in verse 25, Matthew 6, and he says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, which you will eat or drink, or about your body, which you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? Do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And so as we reflect upon this passage of Scripture here this morning and in Matthew chapter 6, we look at this prescription for worry that Jesus is giving us. We take a look back at the very first verse that we read in verse 25. And in verse 25, Jesus tells us to check our values. To check our values. Does our life line up with the values of God that are very clearly demonstrated throughout his word? And so our priorities matching the areas that he says that are important? Are we being inundated by our culture, our world, our society all around us? And then we move into the next verse, verse 26. And then Jesus here, he tells us to not only check your values, but to see your value to God. See your value to God. You know, in the hustle and bustle of our world, we can easily just fall into the rat race. And sometimes maybe we feel like we're just going through the motions. We're a robot. We're just some type of number. And do you realize that, I mean, today, I mean, there are over 7.5 billion people in the world. I mean, 7.5 billion. I mean, we can't really even wrap our mind around that. I mean, that's a lot of people. And that's only those that are living right now. But you know what? Out of all of those people, no one is exactly like you. In fact, all the way back to Adam, there has never, ever been anyone exactly like you. There never, ever will be anyone exactly like you. That's how unique you are to God. As He has created you, He has crafted you into His image, the Bible says, with gifts and talents to be used by Him for His glory, to make a big deal out of Him. He has a clear and a specific purpose and plan for your life and how He wants to work in and through you. But then, as we're going through this prescription for worry, we take a look at the very next few verses there in verses 27 through 29, and Jesus takes an interesting twist, because in these few verses, essentially He says to weigh the benefits of worry against its cost. Weigh the benefits of worry against its cost. Well, just what is the cost of worry? High blood pressure, cholesterol, under overeating, mental disorders, depression, anxiety attacks, sleep disturbances, general anxiety disorders, social anxiety disorders, insecurities, compulsiveness. The list goes on and on, just to name a few. The cost of worry in our life. But then in the next verse and following, in verses 30 through 32, Jesus says to check your faith. To check your faith in the moment, in the circumstance, maybe when you're being overwhelmed by the stress and the pressures and the anxieties and the worries of life. Because the reality is, you cannot trust, truly trust, totally trust God and worry at the same time. It's not possible. Did you catch that? You cannot trust. You cannot totally worship God and worry at the same time. And then in verse 33, Jesus says to seek God's rule in your life. Seek God's rule in your life. And so we have to stop and we have to do an evaluation in that moment that we are going through maybe some stressful times, and we have to say, you know, is God truly supreme? Is He the hub? Is He truly the Lord, the master of my life, and everything and everyone else, no matter who that is, no matter what that is revolving around Him? And then in verse 34, Jesus tells us to deal with the present. Deal with the present, the here, the now, the moment. Oh, how often many of us, we want to drift back to the past. And if we're honest, I'm sure all of us, we'd want to go back and we'd want to change something about our past. But we can't, no matter who we are, no matter how hard we try. And sometimes we just have to accept the grace and the mercy and the love of God that's new each and every day, to pick us back up and continue to press on for how God wants to work in and through us. Oh, the enemy loves to remind us of our past. We have to understand that any unrighteousness or sin in our life, the Bible clearly says he throws our sins as far as the east is from the west. He not only forgives, but He forgets. And so we can't dwell so much on our past. And then sometimes we want to focus so much maybe on the future. And the Bible's very clear. It says it's important to plan, to plot to a certain degree for the future, but the future may never get here. And so we have to focus on the moment. We have to deal with the present, the gift of today. And so as we look at this prescription for worry given by Jesus himself in Matthew 6, you say, Jeremy, you know, I mean, that sounds good, but I feel like I still have a PhD in worry. Well, I mean, if you're honest, I mean, do you feel like maybe you worry more than you should? You know, not too long ago, Sarah and I, we got some rocking chairs on our back porch. Just love just going out there and just relaxing and rocking when we get a chance. But you know what? If you think about it, worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Worry cannot change the past, but it certainly can ruin the present. And we have a way out of worrying. We can take our problems and our cares to the Lord in prayer. Because, listen, a problem not worth praying about is probably not worth worrying about. Worry means that there is something that we cannot control. And as sinful human beings, oh, how we love to try to control our life and our situations. And if we're honest, it is something that causes us to feel irritated with God. You know, have you ever noticed how worry tends to increase with the tension and just the pressure points in our lives? I mean, worry often comes at a time of crisis. I mean, just when you need a clear mind and steady nerves to make the wisest decision possible, here comes worry. It's like this dark cloud that obstructs the warmth and the light of the sun. I mean, worry drains you of your ability to think creatively and can cause many other problems. Worry fills the face with wrinkles and apprehension, robs the body of rest at night. It sends you through your day just shattered and shaky and just second rate, just living on the ragged edge. Why? Because again, worry is fear rather than faith. Worry is a predisposition toward defeat and despair. One man said, most of the troubles I have worried about in life never happened. And so how do we conquer worry? Well, never worry about the things you cannot change. The prayer of St. Francis of Assisi captures this thought. He says, Lord, grant me the courage to change the things I can. Grace to bear what I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference. So not worry about things you can change, just change them. You have ever laid in bed, maybe on a cold winter night, or maybe this time of year, middle of the summer, maybe the air conditioning, the fans just blowing directly on you, and there's just a blanket 6 feet away. You don't want to get up. You want to move to get the blanket because it was less work just to lie there and worry about being cold throughout the night. Well, you know, you think about the solution to worry is to do something about it. Do not worry about your enemies, for in the Old Testament, King David, he has written in Psalm 27, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. And then Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, do not worry about your fear. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and of sound mind. And so right there we realize that worry is not of God. And so we understand that we also do not worry when we feel overwhelmed by the pressures of life, because the Apostle Paul, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. King David, again, says this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. A brand new day that we have here. That we get to praise and worship God through the breath He has given us, through our lungs, that our heart is still beating, that He wants to work in and through us. There's a reason that we are still here and living and moving this morning. And so here, July 19th, 2020, this is the day that the Lord has made. Can't get stuck in the past. We can't focus so much on the future. It's not here. But today, the moment. This is the day we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so let me just share with you three simple but brief reasons not to worry. The first reason is this. God is your Father, and He has the power to give you everything you need. God is your Father. He has the power to give you everything you need. As a matter of fact, God took care of every need you ever had long before you even knew you had a need, before you were hungry. He gave thee a ground, the ability to grow food. Before you were cold, He provided resources to help warm us. Before you were thirsty, He provided water for the nations of the world to drink. The second reason not to worry is this. Worry produces absolutely nothing. Nothing. I mean, not even a little bit. I mean, not a fraction of anything. Zero, zilch. You get nothing from worry. Time and time again, it'll come up empty over and over and over. Worry produces absolutely nothing. Jesus says, which of you by worrying can lengthen your life? You cannot. So why worry? You know, our society reads diet books, jogs in the rain, joins health clubs. So we try to lengthen our life. And, you know, while a healthy lifestyle, I mean, certainly part of good stewardship, taking proper care of the bodies that God has given us as the temple of God, our lives ultimately are in the Lord's hands. The best pill, as one preacher put it, is the gospel. Jesus was the great physician. He is the master architect of the body. So you can trust the owner's manual that He has given us. And, you know, and that's better than a life insurance program, because that's a life assurance program. Third and final reason not to worry is this. Worry is a rat. You say, do what? Yeah. Worry is a rat. A while back, I came across this story of this pilot, this aviator. He was flying around the world. And he stopped every few hours at selected landing fields to refuel. And on one leg of his journey, it was 2 hours from his selected landing field, and exactly halfway from his destination, he heard a noise in his plane that he recognized, you guessed it, as the gnawing of a rat. The gnawing of a rat. And so, not knowing which delicate indicators might be destroyed by the sharp teeth of the rat, the pilot began to worry. He was getting stressed out, if you can imagine. And so he remembered then that rats are rodents. They do not really function well at heights. And so a rat is made to live on the ground and in dark holes. And so the pilot decided he would point his plane higher and higher, until the gnawing stopped. Guess what? 2 hours later, when he landed, a dead rat fell out of his cockpit. So the way to kill off your worries, take your life up a notch. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep pressing onward and upward and trusting Him as you go higher and higher with Him. And as you focus on Christ, these so-called rats that are trying to just eat away at our peace and security, they'll begin to drop off one by one. Your worries will not survive. And so as we prepare to close out today, let's be reminded that worry is the rejection of faith. And the rejection of faith turns godly Christians into practicing atheists. And one of the Bible says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We cannot worry and trust Him truly, totally, at the same time. Worry is a rat that cannot live in the secret place of the Most High. It cannot breathe in the atmosphere of faith and confidence. And so if your life's course this morning, as you've walked into this place, for some reason has been altered, been plagued by worry, then let me encourage you. Let me challenge you today to climb and climb some more. Keep climbing into the presence of the living God to feel His peace and His reassuring touch, to experience His love and the joy of His presence, no matter the circumstances that you are walking through. Worry must die in this divine atmosphere. So don't worry. Be happy. Would you pray with me? Let's ask you this morning, as we are coming into a time of just reflection, of response, that you just close your eyes, bow your heads with me a moment. And as we are in this state of prayer, you may say, Jeremy, you know, if I'm honest, my life has just been overcome with worry. And maybe the reality is you've just been trying to live life on your own. I mean, just trying to take control and figure things out, and you're just empty. You've got that void in your life. And maybe you've just been going through the motions. Maybe this is your first time here for whatever reason today, or maybe you've been here year after year, decade after decade. But if you're honest, you say, Jeremy, I'm not certain I have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And so for you here today, you maybe have sensed the Spirit of God working in and through your life, and maybe today is the day you need to surrender totally and truly to God. Give me your heart, your life, your everything to Him, and to truly trusting in Him. Maybe you've walked aisles, you've said prayers, you've got wet in baptistries, but you've never truly had that true encounter with God, of giving your life to Him. So if that's you here today, maybe you just want to pray. There's no magical prayer or formula, but maybe you just want to lift up something to Him right where you're at in your heart. You may say, Dear Lord, I come to You now, and I'm asking You to come into my heart and forgive me, to cleanse me of all my sin, all my unrighteousness. And I believe what Your word says, that You died on the cross for my sins, that You were buried, and on the third day You rose back to life again. And I'm asking You now to truly come into my heart and my life and forgive me, to be my boss, my master, the Lord, the CEO of my life. Thank You for coming into my heart and my life so I can have hope now and forever with You. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so maybe that's you here today. If that's you, I would encourage you just to tell someone around you. Talk with one of the staff members. But let it be known so you can get connected in with next steps. Or maybe you're here today and you know without a doubt, you say, Jeremy, I know I have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, but somewhere along the way I've drifted, taken a slippery slope, an exit from the plan on the road God has for me. And maybe my life has started to be overcome with worry because I've just tried still to handle things on my own instead of truly trusting in God in those times and those moments as I should, as Him being the pilot, the Lord of my life. And so maybe for you today, you just need to recommit your life to Him. You rededicate your life to Him, making sure that he truly is supreme, the priorities that he reveals that our life should look like are truly matching up with yours. And so maybe that's what God is speaking to you about today, or maybe it's something else that you know clearly God is stirring in your heart and in your life. And so now you can just express that to God. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. Just take a moment just to pray to him. Because we all can use help in those times of worry when it comes and can overwhelm our lives in certain situations and circumstances. And so, dear Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for the prescription for worry that you give us in your word. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that it's inerrant, inspired, infallible, God. That we can come and we can take your word and apply it to our life at this moment. Even uncertain times that we are walking through today. And we can have peace and we can have comfort. We can have joy in knowing that you're in control. You're a sovereign God on your throne and nothing catches you off guard. No matter what's going on all across this universe and beyond, and personally in our lives this morning. And so thank you, God, for that hope that we can have in you. No matter what we're facing at this moment and for all of eternity, because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us on the cross. In your name we pray. Amen.